Hello, I'm Dr. Jonathan Barker, pastor here at Amazing Grace Baptist Church in Mount Airy, North Carolina. I would like to personally thank you for taking out time today to tune in to our preaching podcast. We hope that this message will be a great encouragement to your heart today.
The book of Ruth, chapter number 4, if you found your place, let's stand in honor and reverence to the reading of God's word. Ruth, chapter number 4, the Bible said in verse number 1, "Then went Boaz up to the gate and sat him down there, and behold, the kinsman of whom Boaz spake came by, unto whom he said, Ho, such a one, turn aside, sit down here. And he turned aside and sat down. And he took 10 men of the elders of the city and said, Set ye down here. And they sat down. And he said unto the kinsman Naomi, that is come again out of the country of Moab, selleth a parcel of land which was our brother's, Elimelech's. And I thought to advertise thee, saying, Buy it before the inhabitants and before the elders of my people. If thou wilt redeem it, redeem it. But if thou wilt not redeem it, then tell me that I may know, for there is none to redeem it beside thee, and I am after thee. And he said, I will redeem it. Then said Boaz, What day thou buyest the field of the hand of Naomi, thou must buy it also of Ruth the Moabitess, the wife of the dead, to raise up the name of the dead upon his inheritance. And the kinsman said, I cannot redeem it for myself, lest I mar mine own inheritance. Redeem thou my right to thyself, for I cannot redeem it. Now this was the manner in former time in Israel concerning redeeming and concerning changing. For to confirm all things, a man plucked off his shoe and gave it to his neighbor. And this was a testimony in Israel. Therefore the kinsman said unto Boaz, Buy it for thee. So he drew off his shoe. And Boaz said unto the elders and to all the people, Ye are witnesses this day that I have bought all that was Elimelech's and all that was Chilion's and Mahlon's of the hand of Naomi. Moreover, the Ruth of Moabitess, the wife of Mahlon, have I purchased to be my wife, to raise up the name of the dead upon his inheritance, that the name of the dead be not cut off from among his brethren, and from the gate of his place. So ye are witnesses this day. Look back with me in verse number 8. Therefore the kinsman said unto Boaz, Buy it for thee. So he drew off his shoe. And I want to preach to you just a little while tonight on some things the shoe reminded Ruth of. Father, I love you today. I thank you, Lord, for such a great, great service this morning, God. Thank you, Lord, for good singing tonight. God, thank you, Lord, for the musicians that you placed in our church and the talent that you've given them. God, thank you, Lord, for the great testimony for the Chinese people and the burden for that, the great special singing. But God, I pray over the next few minutes, Lord, that you'd use us tonight. I pray, God, that you'd illuminate my mind and preach me, God, in power and unction and demonstration of the Holy Spirit of God. I pray, God, if there's anybody here tonight lost, that they would be saved. We'll give you the praise, the glory, and the honor in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. You can be seated tonight. You know, I want to look at this little thought. Several people asked me to do this, so I want to look at this little thought on some things that the shoe reminded Ruth of. Some things that the shoe reminded Ruth. If you go to chapter number 1 of the book of Ruth and look in the very first word of verse number 1, you'll find that it is the word now, which is a conjunction, and it indicates that it is tied to another book. As you continue reading that first verse, you find that it is tied to the book of Judges. Whenever you study the book of Judges out, you'll find that this is a time of disobedience and defeat, and it's a time of disgrace. It's a time of compromise, of corruption, and a time of confusion. It's a time of religious apostasy, moral apathy, and political anarchy. Matter of fact, if you look at it, it really is a lot like the days that we are living in today. The little book of Ruth is a shining light in the midst of darkness. It reminds us that God never leaves himself without a witness. Whether it was Enoch in the days before the flood, Moses in Egypt, Elijah in Israel, or John the Baptist just before the coming of the Lord, God has always had a man, and God has always had a witness, and God always will. It don't matter how much they try to kick God out of our country, it will never be done. Let me tell you the reason why. I have him living in me, and God will always have a witness for his word. When you come to the book of Ruth, you've heard me say this before, but when you come to the book of Ruth, it's the 8th book of the Bible. You that knows the word of God knows that the number 8 signifies a new beginning. Noah was the 8th person, a preacher of righteousness. Noah stepped off of the ark with 8 people to begin, as it were, a new race. The Jewish boys were circumcised on the 8th day, type of the new life. The 8th note in the musical chart begins a new octave. The 8th color begins a new spectrum. David, the 8th son of Jesse, began a new dynasty in Israel. And here in the 8th book of the Bible, God is going to do something new again, and that is God is going to allow a little Moabitish girl to enter in to the genealogy of the Lord Jesus Christ. Man, what grace, what grace, what grace we see right here in this book. Now, I thought about this in studying the book, and I'll echo some things I did the other night, but in studying the book, you'll find that there's a few main characters. There's Boaz. His name means strength, and he is the hero of the book, the prince in shining armor. He is also a representative or a type of the Lord Jesus Christ as our kinsman redeemer. Ruth, her name means friendship or beauty. She is the picture of the church. Naomi, her name means pleasant. She's a picture of Israel. Then you've got in chapter number 4, verse number 1, Mr. Such a One, and he represents the law. You've got the witnesses in chapter number 4, and they represent the Holy Ghost of God. When you study this book, you'll find that Ruth ends up falling in love with Boaz, and Boaz ends up falling in love with Ruth. But there is a problem. There is a nearer kinsman to redeem her. You see, according to the Bible, redemption required relationship. It required resources. But redemption also required a resolve. And Boaz is interested in resolving this redemption for Ruth. Matter of fact, chapter 3, verse 18 says, then said she, sit still, my daughter, until thou knowest how the matter will fall. For the man will not be in rest until he hath finished the thing of this day. In other words, Boaz now is in love with Ruth. Ruth is in love with Boaz. They want to get married and live happily ever after, but there's a problem. There's a near kinsman. And in order for, and again, man, I need 2 hours to preach manners and customs, but in order for this resolve to take place, the near kinsman had to not redeem her, so Boaz could redeem her. I said this Wednesday night, but I'll say it again, and then I'll give you this little thought about this shoe. But I said this on Wednesday night. I find it interesting the way that Boaz approaches him. He says, then said Boaz, verse number 5, what day thou buyest the field at the hand of Naomi, thou must buy it also of Ruth the Moabitess. He throws that little jab in there to let him know, hey, you're just not getting Naomi, but you're getting a Moabite girl. And you know what the near kinsman does? Mr. Such One says, well, I'm not going to do that because I don't want to mar my name. I'm not going to have nothing to do with Naomi because I don't want to mar my name. Can I say this to you tonight? That's what the law says about us because we cannot fulfill the law tonight. When we study that law of the Old Testament, we cannot fulfill it. Oh, but aren't you thankful tonight that we're not living underneath the law, that we're in a different dispensation now, and we're living in the grace dispensation now. Aren't you thankful tonight that we have a heavenly Boaz that says, even though the law may not want you, I'm interested in you. So Ruth is sitting at the house, and she's come in from the evening with Boaz, and Chapter 3, you know it. And Naomi even asked her, who art thou? Who art thou? It wasn't that she didn't know who Ruth was. She wanted to know if she was fixing to be Miss Boaz. Who art thou? Ruth comes in and she sits down and gets back up and she walks around and she fixes her a cup of coffee and she starts to drink that cup of coffee and she's all wound up. Naomi says, now this is not exactly the way it reads. Just let me tell you the story. It lines up with my King James. Somebody say amen. Naomi says something like this. What are you all wound up about? We all know it takes a lot to ever get a woman wound up anyway, so it wasn't a common... God help us. It was a common... But watch this. And Ruth says, there's a near kinsman. There's somebody else. I've done fell in love with him. And man, I want to marry him. And I want to live happily ever after with him. And there's somebody else. Naomi says, hey, just sit still. Just chill out. Just go in there and get some Ativan out of the medicine closet and take that and everything's going to be all right. So here Ruth is pacing back and forth. Boaz has went down to the city, went down to the gates. He's got the witnesses there. He's got Mr. Such a One there. And Ruth is now waiting on Boaz to come back. Ruth is waiting to hear what Boaz has to say, this man that she's fell in love with, whenever he comes back. Ruth, as she stands there, maybe looking out the window, pacing back and forth on the front porch, 3 pots of coffee in, 7 chocolate bars, and all of a sudden, at a distance, she sees Boaz on the way, Brother Josh. You know what? Ruth is not interested in Boaz bringing a dozen roses. You know what my wife told me one time? My wife told me this one time, Brother Robert. She said, why would you show me your never-ending love with a flower that's going to die in a few days? So you know what I did? I went and bought her a fake one. And I took it to her, and I handed it to her. Some of you boys get a check right here if you'll do this. And here's what I said. Brother Larry, I looked at her, and I said, when that rose dies, baby, I'll quit loving you. Check? She's not interested. She probably throwed that rose away, but she's not interested in a dozen roses. She's not interested if Boaz has a can of big G snuff for Naomi. That's not what she's interested in. If you've never had no big G, I promise you, you can dip big G and shout and have a power of God on me. If you don't believe me, when you get to heaven, ask my Granny Barker. Watch this. She's not interested to see if he's got any eggs. She's not interested to see if he's got a gallon of milk. She's not interested to see if he's got a chariot coming to pick her up and take her on a date. Here's what she's interested in. She's interested, does Boaz have a shoe? I believe in all of my heart that's what she's looking for. Does he have a shoe in his hand? You see, if Boaz has a shoe, then everything's going to be all right. If Boaz has got the shoe, she knows that there's some better days just right around the corner. And guess what? He does. So here's what I'm going to preach to you about for about 10 minutes, and we'll go home and eat eggs and avocado toast. I'm doing better. I've not had taters in 2 days. Pray for me. And you that knows me knows I eat taters. I ate taters every day of my life. I've not had none in 2 days. Watch, I'm not going to eat none tonight either. You say, I bet you I won't. I might just never eat them again just to prove to y'all I can. I don't know if I'm going to go that far, but anyway, watch this. What did that shoe say to Ruth? What did it remind Ruth of? I don't think that she done like my wife did with a fake rose. I don't think she throwed it away and forgot how great of a husband that Miss Leslie was blessed with. But I think she kept that shoe. Maybe she even put that shoe on the mantle. Maybe one day Obed comes walking through the house and says, "Hey, Mom, can you tell me?" And you don't know who Obed is. That's their boy. "Mom, can you tell me something about this shoe?" Maybe tears swells up in her eyes. And she says, "When I look at that shoe, one thing that I remember," now give me time to preach this and explain it, "it makes me think and it reminds me of a day that I thought I was worthless." You say, "Well, why do you say that?" Well, I don't even try to get into the mind of a woman. But I did a little bit on this. You know what? Every once in a while, y'all women okay tonight? Daddy said it's good. You can tell he's going to stop at the house before he goes home tonight. And maybe he's going to get one of my eggs. I had to fix 5 now, but watch this. Yeah, I'm going to eat 4 tonight. I usually eat 2 and French fries. I'm going to eat 4 tonight and avocado toast. But watch this. If y'all can't tell, I'm hungry tonight, Bailey. But watch this. Come here. In her mind, it had to have an effect on her that Mr. Such a One didn't want her. You know what? Every one of us in here, now somebody say amen and help me right here and we'll get done. Every one of us in here like to be loved. Every one of us like to be liked. Every one of us like to be appreciated. And no doubt in her mind, when he came back and she saw that shoe, they had to be a little bit go through her mind and it thinking in her mind, "Well, I wonder why Mr. Such a One didn't want me. I wonder why somebody else didn't care about me. I wonder what it is about me that made them not want me." Hear me and hear me well. If we're real honest within ourselves tonight, our righteousness is as filthy rags, and every once in a while, we just need to be reminded that we really are worthless. We're no good for nothing, man. Every one of us ought to be in hell tonight. The world didn't want us. Some churches didn't want us. We was worthless at one point or another in our life. The law didn't want us. I'll tell you the reason the law didn't want us, because we couldn't fulfill the law. You that knows the Old Testament, we couldn't fulfill it. So what did it say to her? That shoe maybe reminded her that she was worthless. Number 2, I told you I was going to preach quick. Not only did it remind her that she was worthless, but can I say this? I believe that the shoe reminded her that she was wanted. That she was wanted. You see, some may not have wanted her, but there was one that did want her. Some may not have cared about her, oh, but there was one that did care about her. Some may have pushed her to the side. No doubt there was some that talked about her. In chapter number 2, when she's sitting over there at Boaz's table, when they're throwing handfuls out on purpose, no doubt there was some that talked about her. There was some that could care less about her. Oh, but the one that really mattered, he did care about her. He did love her. He was willing to pay the price. He wanted her, man. Oh, aren't you thankful tonight that even though the world may not have wanted us and the world didn't care about us, and hear me well, they still don't want us. They still don't care about us. Oh, but thank God on a hill far away stood an old rugged cross. Jesus cared about us and Jesus wanted us. I thought about that baby. I thought about that baby in Ezekiel 16, man. It was thrown out in the field. It was polluted in its own blood. Everybody passed by and couldn't care less about it. Oh, but there was one that passed by and spread his skirt over it and entered into a covenant with that baby and cleaned that baby up and said, Live while it was polluted in its own blood. Yea, I said unto thee, Live. Aren't you thankful for the night that Jesus came by where you was at? Or the morning he came by where you was at, the world may have said, you'll never amount to anything. You'll never be nothing. Oh, but aren't you thankful for the darling Lamb of God that wanted you? I thought about the story of Hosea and Gomer. My goodness. Man, go home and read that story tonight. Go home and read that story tonight. What is it? Here's what it is. It's a picture of the grace of God. She said, well, Obed, here's what that she reminds me of. It reminds me that I was worthless to some. It reminds me that I was wanted. But can I say this to you, Obed? Here's what that she reminds me of. It reminded me that there was going to be a wedding. It reminds, amen, that there was gonna be a wedding. It reminds, amen. Now I completely understand that we're saved tonight by the grace of God. I understand that I'm as good as in heaven right now. I understand that I'm the bride of Christ as I stand here preaching tonight. I understand every bit of that. But can I just take it a step further tonight? Aren't you glad that this life is not it? Aren't you glad there's another day coming? Aren't you glad, amen, that there's the marriage supper of the Lamb. There is a wedding. There's not only going to be a wedding. Thank God for the night that there was a wedding. Let me tell you, when I become the bride of Christ, I don't become the bride of Christ when I get to heaven. I didn't become the bride of Christ when I was born. But let me tell you, when I did become the bride of Christ, when, as Pa Barker would say, when I was born again, amen, July the 20th, 1994, thank God, there was a wedding took place, and he became my heavenly Boaz. Every one of my needs he's taken care of, and he still will take care of. Why? Because of a wedding that took place. Number 4, we'll go home. Number 4, it reminded her she was worthless. It reminded her she was wanted. It reminded her she was going to have a wedding. But after the wedding, Boaz and Ruth knew each other, and Ruth conceived and had a child. In verse 17, the Bible said, and the woman and her neighbors gave it a name, saying, there is a son born to Naomi. And they called his name Obed. He is the father of Jesse, the father of David. Who is Obed? Obed is Ruth and Boaz's son. And Obed was the father of Jesse, and Jesse was the father of David, and it was from the lineage of David that we have the Lord Jesus Christ. This little lady right here now becomes part of the lineage of the Lord Jesus Christ. When you study the word Obed out, or the name Obed out, and I preached on three names this morning, Karen, Habuk, and Keziah, and Jemiah, Job's last three girls. And when you study Obed out, you that knows the word of God knows what it means. And here's what it means. It means worship. And you know what that shoe reminded her of? As she would said, as days went by, it reminded her there was a day when some didn't care about her. Oh, but somebody did care about her. And he paid the price no matter what it was. He paid. Matter of fact, there's never a price mentioned. Yeah, just think about that a minute. He never says, here's what I'll take. Boaz never asked a price. Old Leonard Nooncaster's in heaven today. We used to go to sales, and Bailey, we'd go to cattle sales, and Leonard'd pick out two or three cows or 15 or 20. You know the way Leonard was, you never knew. And he'd say, preacher, we're taking them cows home today. And I'd say, well, Leonard, we've got to get them bought. And he'd look back at me and say, we brought the trailer, we're taking them cows home today. Whenever they start bidding, just hold the number up and keep it up until they say sold. That's what he'd say, wouldn't it, Bailey? And you know what we'd do? It's fun spending somebody else's money. We'd hold the number up until they said sold. You know what? Boaz didn't say, well, what will you take? Let me see if I've got enough money. Let me see if I've got the resources. No, no, no. Whenever he said, you can redeem her, he said, guess what? I'll pay the price no matter what it is. And she saw somebody who loved her enough and cared enough for her to pay the price that he did. And she says, Obed, the reason you've got the name that you do, it's because when I look at you, I'm reminded of what he did for me. And all I can do is raise a hand and worship. All I can do is raise a hand and worship. Miss Daniel, you come start playing. Watch this. I'm done. Watch this. It's just 7:07. I told you I wasn't going to preach long. In the book of Ruth, there's no worship at a grave. Chapter number one, a grave is a place of death. Ruth and Naomi left the place of death, but quitting sin is not worship. Ruth and Naomi came to Bethlehem, a good start, but not worship. As a sinner, she repeatedly visited his house. There was attendance, but no worship. No worship with the gleaners in chapter number two. As a stranger, she found grace. She found his grace in verse number 10. As an outcast, she felt his love in verse 13. As a gleaner, she worked in his fields in verse 17. As a daughter, she fed at his table in verse 14. So she was active, but no worship. There was attending, but no worship. There was active, but no worship. Chapter 3, no worship on the grain floor. As a handmaiden, she fell at his feet in verse number 9. She had access, but no worship. You see, there's no worship at a grave. There's no worship with the gleaners. There's no worship on the grain floor. But in chapter number 4, all the provisions are made and a wedding takes place. And after the wedding, there was conception and a baby was born named Obed. You see, in order for there ever to be worship, there must be a wedding. Can I say that again? In order for there ever to be worship, there must be a wedding. Preacher, I just can't worship. Has there ever been a wedding? Because if there's been a wedding, as the choir sings, thank God I'm free to worship. Free to lift up my hand and praise His name. What did it remind her of? It reminded her of worship. You know what? Every once in a while, it's good just to be reminded of what we used to be and the life that we used to have and where God has us at now. Worship tonight. Worship. You say, well, preacher, I've heard this mentioned. Preacher, I just don't worship like you worship. Well, can I ask you a question? How do you worship? I'm not saying that you've got to jump up and scream and holler. But I'm going to tell you something. If there's ever been a day that God saved your soul from hell, every once in a while, there's something bubbles up deep down inside. And you'll at least put a smile on your face. You at least, I remember a time we went to camp meeting years ago. We got out. Old Mater was with us. We was at Northwood and we was having camp meeting there years ago. Mater got out. I hadn't been here no time. Mater had a new suit on. He had a new pair of dress shoes on, and he got in the parking lot. And when he got in the parking lot, he started scuffing his feet like that. He's doing like pawing around. I said, son, what in the devil's wrong with you? He said, I'm just getting ready. I said, getting ready for what? I mean, you look like you're crazy out here scuffing them shoes. He'd scuff them one way and he'd turn his feet and he'd scuff them another way. It's funny. He throwed his legs up. And I said, what are you doing? He said, I'm getting ready. I said, getting ready for what? He said, I'm getting ready to worship. He said, that choir's going to sing in there in a minute. And he said, if God gets in this thing and I need to take a lap, he said, I want to be loosened up and I want to make sure my dress shoes are slicked up. That way I don't fall when I take off running. You know what he was saying? He said, man, when I look at how good God's been to me. When I look at how good God's been. Hey, look up in here just a minute. It don't matter. I've heard people say this. Well, you know what? If I hear the right group sing the right song. Well, if my preacher, my favorite preacher, preaches the right message. Can I just time out? I promise you I'm done, but can I just time out? I don't lift my hand for the preacher. There's some that I like to hear better than others, and you might as well holler amen. There's nothing wrong with having heroes, but don't set them too high. They're just human. Are you with me? I don't lift my hand for that preacher. I don't lift my hand for that singing group. Let me tell you what I lift my hand for and what I worship for. It's because there was a day that I was worthless. But there was somebody that wanted me and paid the price for me. And there was a wedding that took place in my life. And now the product of that is, boy, Lord, I sure do thank you for your blessings on me.